I feel freer than when I came. I feel more encouraged than when I came. Hallelujah. Let's just ask the Lord to continue to minister to us through his word. Father, we thank you that you have been so good to us this morning. You have drawn near to us. Lord, you have touched us. Lord, you have spoken to us. You have encouraged us. You have lifted us up. And Lord, we ask you to continue to do that even also through the ministry of your word. Father, I pray you might continue to build on what has already taken place. Father, I pray that nothing would come to distract us from hearing more from you. Father, I pray that nothing and no one would glory in your sight, but that Christ would get all the glory and Christ alone would be seen. So Lord, I ask you to hide me behind the cross this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, and amen. I want to start a new series this morning. But it's a series that we are all really familiar with. I'm calling it Living by Faith. Living by Faith. And of all the years that I've lived, the few short years, this has been a year that we have had to live by faith. And if you didn't live by faith, you ended up in all manner of anxiety and fear and worry and distress. From the simple minor things of going to a supermarket and finding nothing on the shelves, not even toilet paper, something that I'm still perplexed about. But I give God thanks for his faithfulness, and he continues to be faithful. Today I want to share about the importance of God's word. Because it's God's word along with his presence that helps to keep us in times like these. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 7 of Matthew chapter 4. Talking about Jesus, it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So when I talk about God's word, I'm talking about God's word in two ways. One, the general word of God, which in the Greek is the logos, the general word of God, sometimes, many times represented by the scriptures we have here, that we need God's scriptures, but also the preceding word of God, the rhema word of God, which is what we have here in Matthew 4 and verse 4, when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Greek word, therefore, word is rhema. Every proceeding word of God, you and I need to live, to survive, to thrive in these times. And so, yes, we need bread. Bread here represents more than just the physical bread. It represents food, represents the things that we relate to through our five senses, the things that we need for life, generally speaking. But Jesus is saying to the devil, listen, you're trying to tempt me to turn these stones into bread to meet my hunger need, But I don't live just by my physical needs. I live by the proceeding word of God, what God says to me. And you and I, as believers, we are called to live by the proceeding word of God. In other words, God is always speaking. He always has something to say about every circumstance. And you and I need to be hearing that proceeding word.
Amen.
And receiving it into our lives so that we can thrive. Because as we all know, we don't know from day to day what's going to happen. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone yesterday. He used to live in Springfield. Now he and his family live in North Carolina. And I was just catching up. And so I asked him, how are you doing? And he says, living from day to day. Because in this circumstance, you know, it's hard to even plan. At OTC, the college where I teach, it's been one of those semesters where they tell you, while you are having in-class sessions, you need to plan that any moment now, you could be all online. They're like, you just don't know from week to week what's going to happen. They sent out an email last week saying, we're assessing the situation as the numbers are increasing, and we will let you know what our decision is going to be. And so you have to live like, I don't know, like, can I plan more than a day ahead? Can I plan even a week ahead? I just don't know. And so with that type of situation, you and I need to have the word of God, the preceding word of God that keeps us, that helps us to be able to walk through no matter what circumstance externally happens around us. We have this preceding word that will keep us. And that's the only way for us to actually live by faith. Because the word of God is upon which we can build our faith. So I put here, his word is necessary for our survival. It shows us how to walk and live in the circumstance in which we find ourselves. Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we're on this path. We're on this journey with the Lord. And we can't really see too far down the road. We love to be able to plan and say, I'm going to do this next year and all of this type of stuff. And yeah, you can plan, but the reality is that we really don't know. Right. All we know is that his light is there to lead me step by step, step by step. We need that preceding word of God. I don't know how people live without hearing God's word. I don't know how Christians live without hearing a word from God to keep them through the moment.
Amen.
And so we're called to live by the preceding word of God. And we have the assurance from the Lord that he's committed to his word. That's what Isaiah 55 says, that no word of his will return unto him void without first accomplishing that for which God sent it. And so when you and I know that, then when that word comes, it gives us a confidence. It gives us the confidence to keep walking, to take the next step, to have to know that the Lord is with us. And there's some things that come from the general word of God that we know is always are always true, such as the Lord is always with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. We know he's right there by our side. Even when we think that we have gone far from him, he's right there by our side. But in the midst of that, we still need to hear from him. Okay, Lord, what do I do next? What are you saying concerning this circumstance and this situation? Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 17 that the righteous are called to live by faith. And the only way to really have faith is to have God's word, the general word and the specific word, so we can stand in the midst of the storm. And as we have been studying the book of Hebrews, I've just been, the word blessed doesn't really describe it. I've just been encouraged, edified, because the writer is really writing about faith. And he's trying to get people to believe God's word. And he said that, you know, some people didn't enter into God's rest because of unbelief. They refused to believe God's word. And friends, when you don't believe God's word, All you have left is anxiety and fear and worry, and you pace up and down because you're not holding on to God's word. And it makes a world of a difference. And so as I've started to appreciate this idea of rest, when you have God's word, it's as if you can just relax, because God is going to fulfill his word. It's not as if I have to try and make him to fulfill it. He will fulfill his word, so I can actually enter into his rest. And so in trying to encourage the people to enter into God's rest, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, declared some important truths. He said, "For the word of God," that's verse 12, "is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." And what he's here saying to the readers and to us is that this word of God is what we need to hold on to. Because if we allow this word of God to work in us, it will do something inside of us. And so it says this word of God is alive. In other words, it's living. It's not some dead thing. It's not history. But God's word, when he speaks, it comes forth with life. Jesus himself said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." And so you may not have all the stuff you need physically, but what we need more than all that stuff is God's word, because that word, as it works inside of us, gives us life. And suddenly things look differently. Suddenly you walk differently because that word, you have received it into your own heart, into your own spirit. Wherever God's word is allowed to land and to settle, life will be a result of it. Then he says it's not only alive, but it's active. The Greek word there is a word from which we get energy. It produces energy inside of us. It's moving. The psalmist says in Psalm 107, talking about people who had rebelled against God, they rejected the word of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 17, it says, "Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities." Wow. Want to do it my way. I end up in all sorts of problems. And because of that, they got sick. Verse 18, "They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death." And in that situation, it says in verse 19, "They cried to the Lord in their trouble. And it says he saved them from their distress." What did he do? He sent his word. He sent his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. That's what the word of God has the ability to do. To bring healing into our lives. Amen. Here they are, very close to death. And they cried out to God. And God spoke his word. "You are healed." And the word has within it the ability to fulfill what God has said. And as they received God's word, they were healed from their almost death stage. That's why when the centurion came to Christ about his servant, he says, "Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. I recognize you're a man of authority. So all I need for you to do is to speak the word. And if you speak the word, I know my servant will be healed."
Thank you, God.
And so you can see the value of this preceding word of God. And so Christ spoke the word, and the scripture says in Matthew that that very moment, his servant was healed. And what I'm saying to you and to myself is that we need this proceeding word of God, because it will bring healing to my body. It will change my circumstances. It will bring victory. And it has within it the ability to accomplish what God has said.
Amen.
And so rather than me spending hours listening to all sorts of commentators and all sorts of people who all they do is bring distress and depression and cause me to become distraught and downcast and all of those D words, what I need is a proceeding word from God.
Amen.
Because when that word, when I receive it, things change even within me.
Yes.
Life comes forth, energy comes forth.
Right.
You have all experienced some of that this morning as the word of God came forth in different ways. And so the writer here in Hebrews is trying to encourage his reader, saying, you need this word. You can't live this Christian life without this word. Then he says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Wow. It's able to cut things off. It's the word there is trying to describe something like, I put here a surgeon's scalpel that the surgeon will use in surgery. He can't use, he or she can't use some dull thing to cut out the cancer. They have to have something very, very sharp to cut out the malignancy so that the patient can live and thrive. And the writer is here saying that God's word is sharper than what a surgeon would use in surgery. When we receive it, it's able to come in and to cut off malignancy of our lives. Cut off the things that hold us back. Cut off the things that are contrary to God's will in our life. Otherwise, we keep living with this cancerous thing. And wondering why we're feeling so much pain and so much heartache. And Lord said, allow my word to work.
Yes.
Receive it. It will cut it off. Yes, you might feel some pain, but it will be removed. So you can experience the type of life that God has for us. So when you spend your time with the Lord and you start to see some areas in your life that you know is not producing life, that you know is producing death, that you know is not of God's plan for you. Just say, Lord, what is your word? Lord, give me the words, oh God, so that I can apply that to this area of my life, so I can walk in the victory in this area of my life that you want me to walk in. Then it says it pierces, it penetrates, even to dividing the soul and the spirit. Something that not even humans can do. Even among ourselves, we're trying to figure out, is that for my soul? Is that for my spirit? Is this from wherever? The word of God is able to divide between soul and spirit, to penetrate, to bring conviction. It's the idea that they have on the day of Pentecost, as Peter was sharing. The word of God says that the people hearing were pierced to the heart, and they cried, what shall we do? And so the word of God is able to penetrate. There have been so many times that I have heard feedback from people, and people have come to me even in this setting and said, Pastor Joe, you've been reading my mail. Did my family tell you this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? But as they sat right here, the Spirit of God spoke to them and revealed things to them. And helping them to see and to penetrate and to help them to see. I know what you're going through, and I'm here to set you free, but you need to change over here, you need to change over there. God's word has that ability to pierce and to divide and to speak to certain things in our own souls, and to help us to see that that attitude is just not right. You can say the right thing, but the attitude not right, and the Spirit of God, by His Word, will say, the attitude there is wrong, Joe Campbell, you need to change. And I might come to Bethany or somebody and say, I apologize for what I said, and they're like, what are you talking about? And I've said, don't worry about it. But the Spirit of God spoke the Word and says, that attitude wasn't right. You were a little bit angst there. You were a little bit angry there. You weren't pleasant. And the Word of God is able to show us those things. And we need that so that we don't end up drifting away from the Lord. So that our hearts can remain tender before the Lord. In fact, as the writer here says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. He doesn't say, if you hear His voice, tomorrow do this. He says, no, today, right now, if God speaks to you, don't harden your heart. Allow His Word to come in and do the work inside of us. It's not just for preaching the gospel. And when you preach the gospel, you say to people, if you are convicted, you need to come up now and repent. Yes, it's true for preaching the gospel, but it's also true for how we live our lives as Christians. If God speaks to you today, don't harden your heart. Receive the word. If He says, tie your heart to mine and tie it. Get out of your mind this lie from the devil that God is saying things to make your life miserable. A friend of mine called God a bigot some years back because she was trying to manipulate God to do things her way. Is unrepented. What friends, when God says things to us, how many know it's for my benefit? He's trying to get me to become more like Christ. It's not as if He has some axe to grind when He tells me something. He's trying to help me. And the truth is, if I don't receive that, I'm going to end up in more misery and heartache than anything else. So allow that penetrating work of God that comes as His Word comes forth to have its effect in your life. And then it goes on to say that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It goes deep, not some surface thing. You know, we can all fool each other on the surface. But the Word of God gets below the surface and gets right down into the heart and gets to the attitude and the thoughts. Then I like verse 13. I've meditated on it for a while. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. And at first I'm like, what does that have to do with the Word of God? It says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And I think what the writer is here saying is that God sees everything, every circumstance, every situation. God is not surprised by a pandemic. God sees it. And if He sees it because He's a speaking God, He has a word for every circumstance and every situation. He has sent forth. He's speaking. He's saying something about every situation. Nothing is hidden from Him. So I can come to Him and say, Father, what's going on here? We have prayed and we have prayed and this pandemic continues. And He has a word for us concerning that. And you say, Father, here's another circumstance over here. What's going on? I know you see it. What are you saying? And He has a word for us concerning that. And that word will keep you and keep me. That's exciting because as somebody up here shared, we can get help sometimes from some people, but no one person, no group of persons can meet all the needs of everybody else. But God has a word for every situation that pertains to you and pertains to me. And when I receive that word, then I can walk into the circumstance by faith. It might look bleak. But just think about it. I've meditated many times upon why did God allow Peter to walk on water. I mean, what use is that, as we like to say? But think of the circumstance. Here are the other 11 in the boat. It's a stormy night. It's dark. Wondering why they're not in bed anyway. And here comes Christ walking on water. Another reason. Why would he even want to walk on water anyway? Is he showing off or something? And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. In other words, Peter understood something about the word of God. And so the Lord spoke the word and says, come. And that word, as Peter acted upon that word changed the circumstance, the immediate circumstance around Peter. There's still stormy out there, but something happened to the water that Peter was able to walk on top of the water. Why? Because God said, come. And so what I'm saying to your friends, you might be in the midst of turmoil, you might be in the midst of chaos, everything might be going haywire, but all you need in that circumstance is God's word. And you will be able to walk through it, and the chaos will still be happening all around you, but you're able to walk through it because that word is going to change your immediate situation and cause you. And so Peter's walking in the water and keeping his eyes on the Lord. And then he started to look at the storm. And what the storm was doing, the waves. And started to focus on that and started to forget God's word. And he started to sink. And what I'm trying to help us to see is the value, the importance of God's word. And Peter was smart enough to cry out, Lord, help me, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him, pulled him up. The same thing for all of us. As we go through, sometimes we start to look at the circumstance and we start to panic. What's going to happen when there's a change in government? What's going to happen when they tell us we can't do this and we can't do that? What's going to happen? Just keep your eyes on the Lord and listen to the word of God and you will be all right. Let the others stay in the boat and panic. We have been called to walk by faith. Yes. Oh, help us, Lord. God's word, Jesus says, will sanctify us. I've sanctified them by your word. It will cleanse us. In Ephesians, talked about washing by water of the word. It does something inside of us as we receive it. It cleanses us, remove impurities. But we are the ones who can, in some situations, limit the effectiveness of the word. It says in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus came back to his hometown and he couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Our unbelief can cause us not to receive God's word and therefore don't benefit from it. That's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to say to them. The Old Testament saints didn't enter because of their unbelief. And so he goes on to tell them what faith is. And then he went on in chapter 11 to show them some examples of people of faith. Who all they did was to hear God's word and they set out on a journey like Abraham. The word of God will bring freedom into our lives. Jesus said that in John 8, 31 and 32. He says, those who believe in him to continue my word and my word shall make you free. It cuts our bondages. And brings us into freedom. Paul said to Timothy that the word of God is able to equip the man of God for everything that God has for them, every powerful work. As it becomes a part of us, it equips us. So let me share with us for a few minutes some of the benefits of hearing and doing God's word. First of all, we need to realize that God honors his word along with his name. So if God says it, he's going to honor it. He's going to keep to it. No, it might not come to pass in the time frame that you and I would like it to come to pass, but it will come to pass. God does not speak things just to speak things' sake. But he says, it shall accomplish that for which I sent it. The psalmist says that the word of God is a foundation for his hope. He says, my hope is built upon your word. The same thing for us. Our hope in Christ is built upon what God's word has said. And his word is already settled in the heavens. There's no debate about his word. It's already settled, and therefore you and I can be settled, because if God said it, that settles it. I put here, one of the benefits of hearing and doing his word is to experience God's rest, God's peace, and intimacy with God. Because when that word comes, it shatters, it removes fear and anxiety if we allow it to settle in our hearts. And as Angela was sharing, even when the professionals will say this or say that, you already know what God has said. And so rather than responding in fear and anxiety to what the professionals would say, you respond with peace because you know what God has said. We know what God has said. The psalmist says, the entrance of your word brings light, brings revelation, brings insight. He starts to show us different perspectives on things. As I know, we can walk step by step. Here's a big one. When we hear and do his word, it brings transformation. It's not just hearing, as James says, but as we hear it and apply it into our lives, we are changed. Because the word of God does something inside of us and changes us. So here you are over here and you're angry and bitter about something. And the word of God comes and says, forgive. And you're like, who can I forgive? They should. What is God's word? Forgive. But Lord, you don't understand. You've never been. Forgive. And as we start through the process of forgiveness, it's difficult, it's hard, but his word gives us the energy. His word gives us the ability to go through this. Guess what happens? Suddenly, the bitterness subsides. Suddenly, your heart pressure starts to drop. Suddenly, you're experiencing more peace. Right. And before you know it, you're no longer in bondage to unforgiveness. You can see the person and actually wish them well. And so his word, as we apply it, not just hear it, has the ability to transform us and to change us. But it takes faith and to believe in God's word. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. His word helps us to understand the promises of God. There's one last scripture I want to share from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. I like this passage. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous. Paul says it goes from faith to faith. Sean helped us last week to say, it's faith to faith. So you're on this mountain, faith, and then you go down through the valley and come back up to another level of faith. But you have to go through the valley to get to the other level of faith. But the path of the righteous is something similar. It goes up and down, but there's a light that shines, showing us, and it's getting brighter and brighter. But listen to the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So there's only two set of people you have on earth, the righteous and the wicked. Either you're walking with God or you're not. Jesus said, made that clear. Either you're with him or you're against him. So the path of the wicked, they think they're leading unto their own understanding. They think they're doing the right thing. But the word says they're in deep darkness. They really don't know where they're going. They don't even know what caused them to stumble. They don't know what caused all sort of problems. While the righteous are over here, and because we're walking with the Lord, and because we have his word, our path gets brighter and brighter until that perfect day. The writer goes on to say, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. That's what the writer is saying, the word of God. Hold on to God's word. Don't let them out of your sight. Because if they're not in your sight, you're going to be looking at something else. Don't let God's word out of your sight. Hold on to them. Keep them within your heart. Why? It's going to produce life inside of you, inside of me. Rather than depression and anxiety and fear and worry, the word of God produces life. It produces peace. It produces joy. Health to one's body, because when you have anxiety, when you have fear, when you have all sort of stuff, how many of you know it affects you physically? Which means then, when you have the word of God, and you're holding on to it, and you're living by it, it reduces all of that anxiety, and all of that fear, and it ends up you having, it affects your entire being. It affects the countenance on your face. It affects how you look at circumstances. It enables you and me to be able to rejoice in the midst of the storm. As the word says, as the saying says, you don't have to wait until the rain has passed, the storm has passed. We can dance in the middle of the storm. Why? We have God's word and God is with us. And they might look on and say, look at those crazy people dancing in the middle of the storm. Well, you're over there in your anxiety, and you're in your own storm and anxiety and fear and worry. We need God's word to be able to live by faith. Let us stand. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. As God has called us to live, Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. If you keep looking on the circumstances around you, it's guaranteed you're going to have anxiety. It's guaranteed you're going to worry. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord and hear his word will produce inside of us life. His word will produce peace. His word will cause us to be able to walk in the midst of the difficulties with joy. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. And in this situation, as we are here in God's presence, let's just quiet our inner man. Let's just quiet ourselves and allow the Lord to speak to each one of us. Allow the Lord to whisper to each one of us. There's no circumstance that is hidden from his eyes. No situation that he doesn't know. So as you stand there in God's presence, whatever word you need, I believe the Spirit of God will whisper that word into your own heart this morning. It might be a word of reassurance, a word of comfort. It might be a word of direction. It might be a word reminding you of his promises, that his promises are already settled, yes and amen. It might be a word saying forget the past and look towards the future. Whatever is that word, let's just rest in the presence of the Lord and allow him to speak. Sometimes we are too eager to run and too eager to speak. Allow the Spirit of God right now just to speak into each heart. That word that you need to hear. God who speaks. Lord, I thank you for those who are physically here and for those who are watching, participating in this service online. And Father, I bring every need, every circumstance to you this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are sick, that Lord, you might send your word and bring healing. And so, Lord, we declare over those who are sick this morning, be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for those who are watching who may be suffering from COVID-19. And Lord, we pray that your spirit might move through their bodies and cause that virus to die and cause them to experience your healing touch. Lord, we pray that there be no lingering effects of this illness in their bodies. Lord, we pray for others who might be sick with cancer, that Father, right now your word would move into their bodies and remove every cancerous cell. Lord, we curse those cancerous cells and command them to die. And Lord, we release healing and, oh God, into those places where there was once cancer. And so again, we thank you, Lord, for those who are suffering with all types of aches and pains and headaches. Lord, we rebuke these aches and pains and we command the spirit of infirmity to be gone from their bodies. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for speaking to each heart this morning. That word that we need, that word of reassurance, that word of direction, that word of comfort, that word of strengthening. Lord, that word that helped us to know the next step. And Lord, we thank you that your word, oh God, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we thank that your word, oh God, comes and it brings life. Lord, we thank that your word comes and removes the things from our lives, oh God, that are harmful to us. Lord, we thank that your word comes and it draws us to Jesus Christ. And Lord, it causes our immediate circumstances to experience the miraculous, your presence, your peace. Lord, we thank that your word comes and it transforms us and changes us into the image of Christ. And so, Lord, this morning we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory for all that you have done for us. Lord, whether we realize it or not. And we thank you, O God, that you are a much better Father than we even understand at this point in time. And we praise and honor your name. In the name of Jesus. For us, who can be against us? And that if in the Greek really means God is for us. Therefore, no one can really successfully be against us. They can try. But if God is for us, he's going to take care of his own. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. You're faithful to who you are. You're faithful to your word. You're faithful to your people, your covenant people. You're a God of covenant and you keep covenant. Lord, we thank you that you are the type of God that we serve. Lord, we thank you, O God, that you are with us. You're for us. And so, Lord God, we again reaffirm that our hearts are tied with your heart. Lord, that your love is being poured out into our lives so that we can share your love with those that we may encounter. And so, Lord, we pray that through our actions and through our speech, the love of Christ might become evident. Father, through action and through our speech, may Christ be glorified. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, we ask you to go with us by your Spirit. Continue to teach us, continue to speak to us, continue to direct us. And help us, O God, to respond to your yearning, to respond to your promptings, to be obedient to the things you'd show us to do. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen.